Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, I want to talk broadly about the metal sector and compare the precious metal, something that I think you focus on really more than a lot of the other commodities, but you do have your eyes on these other metals, and rightfully so, right? Because it is a relatively small world, this whole resource investment sector. But recently, when you look at, say, gold, silver, really any of the precious metals, they have underperformed a broad basket of other commodities. Base metals continue to run higher. Energy continues to run higher. What's your takeaway when you see an environment here where there is still a lot of uncertainty, but I think you can say there's always a lot of uncertainty in the markets, but precious metals have broadly underperformed all of the other commodities?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at gold's trading in the last few days, you have long tails both up and down. So, I mean, it looks like there's some trench warfare going on right now. And, I mean, sooner rather than later, something has to break. And if you look at soybeans and, well, copper, even oil, and especially corn and soybeans, I mean, they have been rocketing lately. I mean, they have basically gone parabolic, and I just drew up a chart basically with gold and just compared it with soybeans and corn futures. And I mean, in the last 2 years at least, when gold has traded, let's say, sideways to down, while corn and soybeans started to head higher in a fast pace, then that usually ended up with gold following suit. But it took, I don't know, 1 to 2 weeks or something like that. So, I mean, obviously there are some emission pressures coming on since, I mean, everyone has to eat. So, I mean, that kind of rise in base commodities or food commodities, I mean, that's going to affect people. And then you have, you know, almost every week now, it seems that the stimulus talk is heading towards being ramped up. I mean, as soon as there was one day, I think it was last week or so, when the broader market started tanking a bit, and I mean, barely tanking, and then, you know, there came out a flash with Biden saying that, oh, we're going to hike the stimulus, etc. So, I mean, just thinking about it, okay, you have a dollar that has headed lower recently, quite a bit lower. You have base commodities screaming higher, at least some of them. And you have the talk of extended a hike in stimulus, etc. So, I got to think that, you know, I mean, finally, that maybe some inflationary pressures are starting to, you know, surface. And I mean, the stock market's pretty overvalued if you use historic valuations and metrics, etc. But that hasn't really tanked either. So, I mean, I guess that's also one way to play inflation, obviously. And the bonds have, the yields have headed higher as well. So I think something is going to give soon, and I think that the risks are to the upside in gold and silver just based on how they reacted a while after the base commodities have gone up. And the sentiment, I think, is pretty poor because there's been a gruesome correction for, like, I don't know, 4 months or something. So I don't think there's much of, in terms of hot money in gold and silver right now, and especially when you have Bitcoin heading higher. So everything's weighing, it feels like, on gold and silver. But I think that, again, risks are to the upside. And I don't dare to be too fancy, basically, because, I mean, the world is as crap as it has been ever. I mean, in the modern times, at least. I mean, it's probably worse given the pandemic, etc., and the flash recessions all over the world. So, I mean, it's like Jesse Livermore, he has a dialogue with a fellow in his book, A Stock Market Operator. And that guy says, I can't sell because I can't afford to lose my position in a bull. So that's how I look at it. I don't want to, you know, wake up one day and miners are up 20% or whatever, since they're so cheap right now, and then having to, you know, buy back shares in perhaps quite illiquid stock. So I'm just sitting put until I see gold juniors especially become actually close to overvalued. Then I have something to. I don't need to think that much, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, well, look, the thing is, we have been in about a five-month correction for precious metals, and broadly, the stocks have also corrected over that five-month period. I get that you can also make the argument that a lot of these stocks, there's still a disconnect between where they're trading and where the underlying precious metals price is, especially the gold price, comparing it to about a decade ago. But a couple things you brought up there in terms of the fundamental drivers, inflationary pressures. We definitely are seeing inflationary pressures. And I was even reading over earlier a note from Peter Buchvar, who's pointing to the recent sale of some rookie cards that are selling for millions of dollars. And he's saying, look, that's even being viewed as, in a way, a hard asset because there's something there, even though it's just cardboard. Either way, there's a lot of money in the world that is sloshing around the system. So you think that there are some inflationary pressures. On the back end of that, though, we have also seen rates move up. We've also seen the U.S. dollar bounce. Do you think those are more just temporary things, as when rates pull back or the U.S. dollar pulls back, then the inflationary pressures can truly help the precious metals?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yes, I mean, the gold and silver space, that is correct. But the vast majority of my money is in the gold and silver miners. So, I mean, sure, I follow gold and silver, obviously, and I'm curious as to where they are heading in the short, medium, and long term. But, I mean, if I draw out the inventory horizon a bit, I mean, do I think we're still in the early stages of a major gold and silver bull? Yeah, I think so. And I don't try to guess where gold and silver is going in the short term because I simply don't know. And the only thing I can control is, okay, I mean, gold and silver, everyone has an opinion on that, if it's overvalued or undervalued. The same goes for Bitcoin, etc. But when it comes to companies, I mean, where I have most of my money in, I mean, then you can actually, I mean, there are economic studies, there are certain assumptions you can make, etc. So that's what I can control. If I buy something that's cheap now with gold at whatever it is, if I think it's also cheap at 1500 gold, etc., then I have an inherent margin of safety, etc. Then I don't really have to think that much about where gold and silver is heading. If I was in a pure momentum trader or whatever, and was invested in perhaps overvalued silver producers, then I would probably have a hard time sleeping with the kind of exposure I have right now. But I know that most of my picks, think all, will still look cheap to me if gold falls $100 overnight, maybe $200, maybe $300. So, I mean, just that fact makes it quite easy for me to just, sit still and make some adjustments, obviously, because I always compare my holdings with, every other stock I can find that looks good, and especially, relative to the other holdings in the portfolio. So I make my value adjustments. I'm a value trader of sorts. But I mean, the mean valuation or cheapness in my portfolio, I think it looks pretty good. So I'm not actually that worried or care that much where gold is going in the next month or so. But I mean, it's hard not to think about it, obviously, because you're constantly exposed to people talking about a gold and silver price, and some are screaming they're bearish, it's going to crash, some are saying it's going higher, etc. But I mean, I can't control that, I can't know where it's going, so I just stick to, putting in the work of just understanding what the companies that I own, and if I think they are cheap now and cheap at lower prices, etc., then I mean, I can't do much more than just, sit and wait for the market to agree with me someday.
So, Eric, let's talk about some of the stocks that you hold. You've been on this show outlining a couple juniors and exploration plays that are really bifurcating from the market. Look, we've already outlined the last 4 to 5 months, a lot of juniors have moved down. A lot haven't been able to release news, but you know what? There are some stocks that have completely outperformed this market. Take us through some of your biggest winners, at least right now, and how you're still viewing the stocks as there is this disconnect between the broad sector of juniors and what a handful of stocks have done recently over the past couple months.
Yeah, well, I mean, two of the most obvious ones would be SK Mining and Eloro Resources. Both are mainly precious metals exploration plays. Eloro has assets in, I would consider its new flagship asset is Isca Isca in Bolivia, and it's polymetallic with a lot of silver and gold, etc. It looks like it could be a really big thing that they're finding there, because they have a bunch of breccia pipes, basically. And in this day and age, finding a huge deposit, a potentially tier one or tier two deposit, is kind of rare. So obviously that's interesting. And if you look at the short, etc., I mean, people find it interesting. And that's one of the things I guess put a bit of more emphasis on right now, for example, since there are a lot of juniors that don't have much traction. Okay, you find something that, okay, it looks good, it looks like it has a longer way, because it's, you know, it has somewhat probable growth, not that you can guarantee it's economic or anything like that, but you see in the short that people actually care. And if one of these companies, and SK Mining is another one, I mean, if those keep hitting, I can see them doing well even in a, you know, pretty stagnant market overall, because it's right there in the short, basically, that they have outperformed. And right now, until the case really changes, I think that the risks are to the upside. I mean, since this is so early stage, and of course the valuations have obviously priced in some of that potential, but when you think about it, it's like, okay, lower resources, if this is a huge, you know, polymetallic silver dominant monster deposit, I mean, is this valuation expensive? I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a relatively high probability of keep hitting. So okay, and they have money and they're drilling, etc. Okay, and you know that there's going to be a good news flow there. SK, it's been a bit stagnant lately, but it's had such a huge run. But again, if you think about, okay, what does SK actually have? I mean, they have over a couple dozen targets, to quote Quinton Henny. And if you look at just how big TV Jeff could be, I mean, if you compare it to Skeena Resources, is the current market cap expensive? I mean, it's obviously pricing in more than the 9 assays that have come out so far, but the runway for SK Mining is, you know, beyond 99% of juniors in absolute terms, because they have so many targets. They're so big. They're not tier one jurisdiction. They're relatively shallow, so you can actually drill a lot of holes without blowing out your budget, or at least you can get a lot of holes instead. I mean, if they were drilling 1 kilometer deep holes or 500 meter deep holes, I mean, that would obviously take a lot of time, a lot of money. And they're going to test, I don't know how many targets they're going to test next field season. But both of those I see as, okay, just looking at short, the market cares. Do I think they will grow? Yes. Do I think they could do well in when sentiment is relatively poor? Yes, because they have been recently. So those are the kind of plays I really like when I don't have better ideas, etc., because I think they could do well in any market environment, basically. So I see that as both, you know, beta/alpha, and I really like such companies. And if the market pays you for said growth, then you could actually, you know, your portfolio could do pretty well almost regardless of the market sentiment.
Okay, so really it is about being in companies that are, in a sense, controlling their own destiny by doing work that is a catalyst to them, that can drive their stock higher. And you know what? In all fairness, that can help. We see that in a bear market. We also see that in a bull market. And during these bull market corrections, where stick to the stocks that are doing work that could add some value. And that really right now, honestly, is either moving into production, so near-term production, or drilling. And there's a lot of drilling going on out there. So, Eric, good chatting with you, buddy. I have another call coming up, so I will chat with you again next week. Have a great rest of your week.
The same. Thanks, Corey.